This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
It is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, busy day today. We want calls early and often, so... what's the number?
1-800-919-3776. I'll say it again with my chest.
1-800-919-3776.
Get on the line, man, and I love our intro. This is how winning is done. How yeah. winning is done is by losing to the Chargers. That's yeah. how winning is done in 2020.
Isn't it amazing? Losing by winning, winning by losing.
It's such a 2020 type
theme
of thing.
How about the theme of my weekend, though? That's the theme of my weekend. It's watching the Jets and watching Justin Herbert and being like, I don't even care. Joe Flacco throws that pick six, which was like, what the?
I'm like,
I don't care. Good.
I wonder if Joe got in his ear. Joe, remember what we talked about? Remember why you're here? I brought you here from Baltimore. Put some money in his eye. You bet not throw this fight. You remember? You know how you go?
He goes to the line and he goes like Omaha. Instead of saying Omaha, he goes, co-tight. We're going co-tight. Yeah, exactly. Co-tight.
Can you know, we all watch those movies where we tell the guy like lying or something. He throw the fight, right? It's all on Attila. Throw the fight. And then all of a sudden, he decided to go off the rails. Wrong bet. Like, hold up, Flacco. I brought you here to reason.
Right, you bet not
be trying to win this game. Y'all have blocked a punt. Hell no.
Yeah, you're Joe Douglas. You're like, listen, Joe, we're going to need a quarterback next year one way or another. You want to be part of the solution or do you want to be part of the problem?
You want an extra $5 million?
Why am I talking like Jerry Jones? I don't think Joe Douglas talks like Jerry Jones. You want to be part of the solution or part of the problem. That is that quiet conversation Jerry Jones would have, like with Dalton.
I tell you what,
we don't want to win this division. We want to get a high draft pick. You want to be part of the solution or part of the problem.
All of a sudden, Dalton looks.
Division, dude. I'm probably wrong. Peter Boddy put this out yesterday on Twitter. His buddy of mine, great sports writer in New York, and it's funny. Now John thinks it's not accurate, but I don't care. It's funny enough to say. Imagine winning the division, having a home playoff game, and also a top 10 pick all in the same year. Your record's so bad, but obviously if you make the playoffs, then you get slotted in. But still, it's just funny to think that division is where it is. And we'll talk about the whole Giants thing now. We'll talk about with that with Rex Ryan at noon. He'll join us in as he always does. Nick fans, we've got Emmanuel quickly.
Yes.
The 25th overall selection by the Knicks, the second first round they took from Kentucky. He's going to join us at 11:30, bottom of the hour. And yes, I'm going to tell him all what you said. I'm going to tell him what you all said about him. Mm-hmm. Could have got him the second round. Oh, Kentucky guy. I'm calling you all out. I'm going to call you. He's going to come on and be like, Emmanuel, hey, by the way, all Knick fans, not happy about you.
Exactly.
What do you think?
Show your work.
Put that chip on his shoulder. And everyone, he's like, oh, we love him now. He's our guy.
Yo, okay. we should take callers. We should let callers come in and hate. Like, yeah, man. And that way, put that chip on the shoulder. So let them come in and ask him a question.
I think we could have gotten Tyrell Terry instead of you. Oh, he would have been. He's like, I'm SEC player of the damn year.
Exactly. Put some respect on my
name. It'd be good. Quickly's a good kid, though. But so we'll have him on. We'll talk some NBA because this is the weekend. Like I said, let me get back to it. This weekend for me has been about, the best thing that can happen is to lose.
Yeah.
Because the Jets now 0-10, and even though it was a closer game than it should have been, and of course I missed the cover, so I don't get the win. I picked the Chargers, but I didn't cover. But still, that game was closer than it should have been, but it ended up happening the way it happened. 0-10, and on to the next one, and waiting to get to 0-16, and making sure you get Trevor Lawrence, and then you move forward from there. Sorry, Sam, we love you, but that's just where it is right now. That's reality.
But this
and then there's free agents. agency where it's like the Lakers are just loading up again. The Hawks are adding teams. And here's the Knicks like, we're going to get Ed Davis and 2 second-rounders. Then we're going to trade Ed Davis for another second-rounder. And we've got more second-rounders than we actually have players.
Is that for 2023? I'm starting to see a loading lot of, like you said, I'm starting to see a lot of 2023 picks.
That's one of the high school drafts. That's Bronny's draft. There's a couple actually talented young players.
They're going to draft Bronny.
Well, Leon Rose did once represent LeBron James.
And the crazy thing is, he's going to come in, he's going to be like Isaiah Thomas' son. Not as good as the original.
Could you imagine, though, if you did that, you'd have like the Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr. on the same team kind of deal? Like, is it worth it? I don't know, but it's still whatever that is. Bottom line is, though, the Knicks are doing making moves that aren't about winning now, clearly. It's about, again, preservation. It's about draft picks, assets, and patience, which some fans, it drives you nuts because you're going to have another year ahead where you're like, well, not a team built to win right now. So what you have to look forward to. But yet other fans are going, good. Finally, we stick to something that it might be sustainable to build forward. So here you are with two teams now, and all you're thinking is losing is winning. And that's where I'm at. That was my weekend, Bart. Losing is winning.
When does the price come down for Westbrook? Because eventually
that's a great question.
Eventually the price is going to come down. So just waiting, even if it's during the trade deadline, eventually, you know, because I think James Harden is adamant about getting out of there. And I think they're going to start looking at James Harden and saying, okay, well, we're going to mess around and not get an opportunity to get anything for you. And he's just going to walk away in 2 years. So we better come to our senses and just understand it's over. Right? I mean, OKC's had to do it twice. When they lost to Rat, when they lost Westbrook, they've had to come to grips that, okay, our star is leaving. And what are we going to do about it?
That's why you do what you're doing here. Absolutely collect as many picks as you can, because the next couple of drafts, especially 22, 23, whichever year it's going to be that they'll finally allow the high school kids back, they'll allow the drafts back in. And a lot of it also will be the G League thing too, which you can draft a high school kid and put him in the G League, because that's what they're already trying to establish, is maybe he's not ready to play in the NBA yet, but there's a different type of development program, which is an alternative to college. So that's all going to be there, right? And you've got all these picks that are going to be valuable teams that are going to be rebuilding. So that's the plan. Just sit and wait and be ready. And that's what you're doing. We'll get into the NBA. We'll get into the NBA stuff, though. A lot of free agency stuff.
Before we transition,
go ahead. I want to ask you a question about the Jets, but go ahead.
Will the farm system start to become like baseball, where people are trading big time prospects within the G League? Right from their G League team.
That's a great question. I don't know if it, like it won't
like,
be.
So somebody get a player. I'm saying, but somebody get a player and then get somebody in the G League.
Well, like you have this thing where it's like a franchise's top prospects.
Right.
That's like what they I'm do in baseball about. Where they and rank we, your prospects. Rank them.
That's what I'm saying. So then you can see a lot more movement.
Like not here yet, but on the on the rise. And this is somebody that everybody's like watching in the G League, saying this kid's going to be a stud.
Like a guy like Giannis, right? He put on weight. He needed to gain more weight or something like that, or the dude that. That the Knicks got, that they own his rights, and he's been in the league for 45 years already. He's 47 years old, but he just hasn't come over yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, break him
over. There is some dude they just got that was drafted in 08. I'm like, I was a beat writer back then.
I think he was in
middle school back then. But so the bottom line is that I think it's the tale is about patience. Not everybody wants to hear it, but we'll talk more about that and what you did see in free agency around the league. That'll be later in the hour, but I got to ask you though, Bart, when it comes to what we're seeing from the Jets, is you're not watching for wins anymore. That's pretty clear. You're watching for young players to be competitive. Mims had moments where I was like, damn, that kid can ball.
Yeah.
Right? A second round pick, wide receiver, and you're starting to see each week that kid can ball. And if you find him, he'll make catches. And you know what else I noticed? All of a sudden, Chris Herndon, he arrived and showed up made a couple of catches where he actually put himself out there to make a catch. I'm not saying he had a great game. What I'm saying is for the first time in weeks, I noticed him for not all the negatives. Becton is Becton, although I would like him to stay on the field a little more.
Hey, I don't know what's up with that, him going in and out, man. If that's the case, just let him rest.
Is it more a conditioning, or does he, every little thing, if he feels something, he doesn't want to play if he's not, like if something's bothering him, he won't play through it?
Well, I just want to know if he's injured and he's playing through it and it's just too much. I wonder if that's the case.
What do you mean?
Well, if he's injured and he's trying to fight through it, but he probably needs surgery or something, like if he needs a scope or something.
You think there's something that's there, and so it starts to bother him, they say, don't push it, come out?
Because it could be that pec, it could be that left arm. You know, we've all had that nagging injury. They said, let's get an image of it, and then you get surgery, you know, after the season. And it's fine, but it just requires surgery. It's enough to make you pause and make you hurt. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. So that's what I'm talking about.
So you worried about I think Jacksonville's the only team left to be worried about, right?
No, man. Jeez, can they just win one? This is too nervous. Do they play the Bengals? Do Jacksonville play the Bengals?
No, I think we had their schedule. I put up their schedule. We talked about this a while back.
The only team I can see them beating is like maybe the Bengals.
And now, especially, how terrible is that, by the way, for Burrow? How many ACLs this season? I mean, Odell's another one, right? I mean, how many ACLs this year? That's rough. All right, they've got the Browns. They've got the Vikings. They've got the Titans. They've got the Ravens. They got the Bears.
Oh.
And they got the Colts.
They might beat the Bears.
There is no win here.
But the good thing is,
there's not a win here, dude. Come on. There's not a single win here. Not a single one. The Jets can't win a game. You can't.
Yeah.
There's not a single win. Come on. Browns have to win.
Because I think if they win.
Vikings?
And I think somebody
can you beat the Vikings?
The Vikings just won four in a row. But the thing is, I'm looking at that team, and I'm saying I think even if
the Vikings didn't just lose to
if the Jets win, Dallas. Yeah, they lost to Dallas, but they had won four in a row.
Yes.
Dalvin Cook went off on that run for like two games in a row where he went for 200 yards rushing.
Yeah, but then he couldn't beat
I'm nervous with, even if like people are like, oh, well, the Jets should win. If they win and Jacksonville has a win and they have a win, I think Jacksonville's strength of schedule is weaker. So I believe that they would get the tiebreaker.
How could their strength of schedule be weaker?
Because the Jets are playing teams that have better records. So like the team that guys, I know it's weird, right? Usually you would think the team that has the toughest strength of schedule will get it. No, it's the one that has the weakest strength of schedule. You see what I'm saying?
So like I know what you're saying. I don't like it.
This is the funniest thing, right?
It's amazing that you're going to have a fan base that if they go 0-16, you will celebrate.
But this is why I say keep Flacco in. I would put Darnold on IR. Because if you know your future rests on winning the game, what would you do? Darnold's going to be willing to die.
Sam's got
to say. Yeah, he's going to be diving through people running. You think those 50-yard runs? He ain't even going to be handing the ball. He's going to be running.
I can't afford that Sam even get hurt either, because you might need to use him as a trade ship going forward.
But Sam is going to try and play his heart out.
Of course he should.
To get a win, because he knows he get his win that he keeps.
I hate this for him.
If he wins, that means he's the starting quarterback. So in essence, when he gets out there, he's just trying to win one game. And that one game is for him to become, you know, the quarterback. The only issue is for him to do that, and he'll earn it. He's got to go through New England. He's got to go through Cleveland. He's got to go through the Rams. He's got to go through Seattle. He has to go through the Raiders, and he has to go through Miami. If he does that, if he gets one of those, he earns. He's going to deserve it, right? Because he should be like 20 point. The other team should be like 20 point favorites. But if you're trying to galvanize the troops, because you know one win equals that you're going to have a job next year and potentially be in line for a $30 million extension or something. You know what I'm saying? So what would you do for that?
I know exactly what I'd do. Exactly. I'm not here.
Sending presents to everybody.
I'm not here, you can draft my replacement is basically what your attitude is when it comes to this kind of stuff. But if I'm Joe Flacco, I'm like,
Flacco's like, whatever Joe tells me.
I want a job next year, so if you just need me to do the right thing.
That's why I put Sam out there.
I have no problem pulling the pin. Juan, by the way, just tweeted us, and I feel bad. Bart, what can we do? He said, damn, I missed the opening of Bart and Han because I was on the phone with the urologist. My wife is making me get a vasectomy.
Oh, man, bro.
We got too many damn kids.
Bro.
I mean, I can relate. But my wife, at the last minute, now she might have a change of heart because I was all set up, had a schedule, everything. And my wife, at the last minute, said, no. She gave me a pardon. She just couldn't see. She couldn't see it happen.
Why won't she take the L? Why don't she get on birth control? She's assuming that y'all going to be married for the rest of your life. Whatever you get in another relationship and your new wife want a baby.
What are you talking about? I'm getting too old for this.
No, I'm talking about him.
I think it's a given that anything that happens beyond this is just going to be me on my own.
I would put it on my wife. Like, like, you being selfish. Why don't you get your tubes tied? You know you don't want no more kids. Why you want to stop me from shooting up
poor
the club?
Juan, though. I feel bad for Juan. So there isn't a rewind, but there, of course, is a podcast. So if you missed anything at the top, it was a little
Juan, don't let her mess up your ability to shoot up the club, man. Don't do it, Juan. Tell her if she loves
Johnny
you, she'll
Appleseed,
get her tubes
baby.
Tied. Tell she'll get her tubes tied if she loves you.
Or just be careful. That's all. Just, you know.
No, that never works.
And if God gives you a blessing like our little Callie came along 5 years ago.
Yep.
It's a blessing.
Just feeling yourself that. He's like, what's it? It's like right when you're about to make that decision, you think in your head, well, they say it's hard to get pregnant. Is she ovulating? Maybe not. You know what? Any excuse you start lying to yourself to do what you want to do.
Yeah. And sometimes you're just, you know, you're in that moment where it's like,
right, you got about, shoot up the club.
We've got about 30 seconds before one of the kids bangs the door down.
Yeah.
So whatever happens. This
run
is like
straight,
basically,
run straight
you kicked
through
it to me in the corner, and I'm going to let it fly.
You ran straight through the red light.
Sometimes it happens.
Oh, was a stop sign right there? Nope. Didn't see it.
All right, let's get some calls, Bart, because we have Emmanuel quickly bottom of the hour, and then we'll have some NBA talk and then Rex. So this is the time to get our calls in. Let's see. Let's begin with who wants it the most. Let's go Anthony in Long Island. Anthony.
Yeah.
What's happening, bro?
First call on the Today Show. Fantastic.
Lead us off.
Get the opportunity to talk to you guys. So good stuff. I want to talk about the Jets. Well, two things. So I'll tell you what I'm thinking about them, and I'll tell you what I'm a little concerned about, and you tell me if I'm crazy. But I keep hearing all of this talk about how the Jets are, you know, not a good-looking team to come to, and you know, well, when I look at it, they got a lot of money to spend. They're going to have a high pick. They're going to have a low pick in the first round. They got a couple of picks in the third round. Mm-hmm. You know, why is it that people are saying that they don't want to, again,
I think it's the head I'll tell you what, Anthony, my answer is the head coach. What's your answer, Bart?
It's the head coach, and it's the perception that the executives don't know how to run a professional outfit.
Thank you, man.
But I think if you look at if you look at the first round draft picks, you can say, well, wow. I mean, you think about Austin Davis, right? You think about P. Ryan. You think about Mims. You know, Mims looks just as good to me. Maybe not as good as Claypool, but and Jefferson. But I think if he had a whole season, I mean, you see how he's high-pointing the ball, how he's mossing these D-backs, and how he's just like his catch rate is. And when he's not catching the ball, he's getting PIs because they're hooking his arm and holding his wrist. You know what I mean? So you think about what he accounted for, 71 yards, but what about another 40, 50 yards just on strictly on penalties? And even the last one that when Joe Flacco threw the fade, pushed him from the back and rolled him down to the ground.
I felt like when he's older, that issue won't happen. I think that was a little bit of strength. Like, he didn't really go for the ball. He tried to flop, and I feel like when you're older and a little bit stronger, you're going to out-muscle that corner, and you're going to go get that ball.
And the thing is, he's going to be on the same page with a quarterback that if this dude's playing that high, I'm just going to run a back shoulder and just throw it, and I'll wait for you to throw it, and I'll just catch it behind him. And then
that's a good question. Anyway. That's a great point, too. It's also he's playing off instinct right now. All right, let's go. More calls. Let's go to Sam in Brooklyn. What's up, Sam?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How we doing?
I'm all right, man. I want to talk about my Knicks real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
We got your new baby coming on a little later.
All right, cool. First of all, I want to say my Knicks trade for Westbrook. I wish y'all stopped that. Did not mortgage the future for Westbrook. Period. We blew one pick in the draft when we could have picked that kid, Cassius Winston, out of Michigan State, and let him, and we should have signed Rondo. We should have went after Melo, and then we should have signed Jeremy Grant. We could have started Mitchell, Grant, Anthony, Barrett, Rondo. We're topping off the bench, had Winston learning under Rondo, had a couple of other guys, Bullock, coming off the bench.
Sam, why would they want to come? Why would Rondo want to come? And why was Carmelo coming with father top player?
Sam, all due respect, I'm not feeling any of that. First of all, Rondo had zero interest in coming here. He wanted to go to a team that was really looking to be a playoff team and compete, and that's why he went to Atlanta the way he did. Carmelo didn't want to come to New York, mainly because, again, there wasn't any reason for him at this point in his career to come here and finish it up because there's there's nothing yet for him to come here for. It doesn't mean that next summer it'll be revisited if they make some moves. I do think he wants to finish it here. This wasn't the time. Jerami Grant is not even a starter. He's a really good guy off the bench type player at this point in his career, and he's looking to also, you know, but I mean, what was the money he got? I got to check my list, but he got some money where I was like, I don't know.
They like 20 a year.
You know, like, no, I don't think he got 20, but
he's like
still.
Three for 60.
He got 3 for 60?
Maybe I'm tripping.
I got to look at that. But anyways, bottom line is like, that's not, you know, like, those aren't the moves. And by the way, Cassius Winston at 25 in the draft. I like the kid too, but guys, come on. Can we do better than this? Ryan in Manhattan. Come on, Ryan.
He got 3 for 60, bro.
Hello?
He got 3 for 60?
3 for 60.
Oh, that's right. The Pistons were doing crazy stuff this weekend. Ryan, what's up, man?
Hello? Yes, hello.
We got you.
I saw a report about John Wall being traded. I just wanted to see what you guys would think if we were to be able to get him for not a lot.
No.
Even if he's at like 50% of what he was.
Ryan, you don't want to do that. No
way.
He's
Westbrook money, too.
He's coming off Achilles. He's the same contract as Westbrook, except his injuries, major concerns. Not really a great leadership kind of guy you'd want to have around a young team that you're trying to develop with. Never was a guy that can defend at all at that position. Ball dominant kind of guard who just, he needs a year to prove that he can play again at a high level after everything. He hasn't played in 2 years, right? So why would
you do that?
It doesn't make any sense. It's just that's the kind of stuff where you're looking for something that looks like a splash and ends up, and you end up drowning. So Ryan, I appreciate the call. That's you don't go that way at all. One more, Val in the Bronx. Come on, Val.
You want to reset the show, man, because these are the first two been tough.
Yeah.
Good morning, Jeff.
We got to get a better call. Go ahead, Val.
How you doing, bro?
Good.
Good morning, gentlemen. I got a buffet for you. I got two for you, okay?
Go.
One Jets, one Knicks. Yo, yesterday, I've been a Sam Darnold fan since we got him, all right? But I think, you know, I'm convinced now that, you know, we need to not win a game at all because Jacksonville might win something, so we can't chance it. We cannot win a game. We need to hold out for Lawrence. You could see it in these young quarterbacks that's out there. I know Burrow's, and that's a sad story. He went down yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, dumb guys that's coming up there, you could see it in it. They have something when you see them on the field. And when you see my guy on the field, that tells you that we're not there yet. We got to go make another push for that and get in there again. And as far as my next point, I honestly believe, and I hope everybody else, I don't know why people are fighting this. If we could just get that price to come down, and I don't even know that the price is set yet on what it's going to take to get Russell. If we could get that price to come down, and it does not cost us a pick, and it does not cost us any of our young core, except for maybe like a Knox. If we could get that to happen, I'm telling you, the only way we get any kind of other star talent, everybody's talking about who's coming out next year. I like what you're saying with the draft for like 2023. See, we don't have to give up any of those. But them other free agents, them stars, nobody's coming if we keep putting out what we're putting out in the garden. Russell is going to help them young guys. You saw what he did for Adams. You hear what somebody like Oladipo says about him. They need to get that guy in there if they could get that price down and it does not cost us our future.
Thank you, Val. Appreciate it. And Bart, I'll leave it at this. I do think if you're the Knicks, you do just sit and just see what happens. I don't think you say completely no to it. You just want to see when do the Rockets get to a point where they're like, man, Russ is going to be a toxic issue in our locker room when camp starts. If he's still here, he's not going to be happy, and we're going to force him and Harden to be happy. We know that is not that's a bad thing. So they have to eventually decide what they want to do. Well, and so this isn't something you rush into. You wait, and maybe the Knicks do wait. Maybe they say, you know what, we'll see if they do reach that point where like we need somebody that's going to take as much of this salary into their cap as they want.
Yeah,
I mean, as they can. And then give us like, you know, like some late take seconds
Julius
or
Randle.
Something.
Take Julius Randle.
It's going to have to be something like that. But if they don't, they don't. You know, but I wouldn't completely close the door. But I just don't feel like it's going to happen. At least not in the near future. Waiting for Emmanuel quickly to join us, which he should any minute now. But in the meantime, So you're on the Jets post game. I had this question for you.
Yeah.
Like, because you're like, we only see you at the desk, so you're suited and booted. You know, you're looking fresh, but I gotta know, do you go like casual, like pants and shoes and somebody for the season? Like, how do you pull? Because I got a secret I was gonna reveal today.
No, what I stopped doing is I stopped worrying about my shoes. I got shoes, but, you know, you walking around all day with hard shoes on. It's not the most comfortable thing. So what I do is I just, you know, I have appropriate loafers that kind of go with it. Like, it's like I have the type of shoes that I would wear with no socks, but the type of shoes I would wear without the tie on. You know what I mean? So I just do that. That way I can make sure I'm in comfort all day.
Right.
You know, and it's like this damn thing over there. They got arrows like I'm in the grocery store where you only can walk one direction. So if you go to one place, you got to walk in a complete circle.
Yeah.
And the circle is like a damn near like a quarter block. It's like, you know what I'm saying? You got to walk around. It takes you 3 minutes to walk around in the square. I'm like, you know what, man? I would think if it was nobody in the hallway, I would be allowed to walk the other way. But then you start hearing people and then they start hating on you. You used your car to go in a way that was a different direction. You can't, like, look, man, I entered the door that was closer to the dressing room. That's a whole nother fight for another different day.
Yeah. I was just curious because, like, there's a little secret. So Wally and I have, like, started doing this because nobody ever really sees you when you're sitting at the desk. And even when you're standing, it's so, like, the way the studio's set up, you can't really tell, right?
Well, that's the job 612. That's the job 612. Y'all always out of frame.
Well, that's true, too. I have these ridiculously comfortable pants. Like that, I start again. I got from Public Rec.
Ah, yeah.
And it's like they're insanely comfortable. They look like suit, but like you can't tell.
Yeah.
And like they're stretchy, kind of like fit. You know what I mean?
Got that.
And you're not wearing out your suit pants because I used to do that. Wear the suit pants, and then you're wondering like, why are my suit pants wearing down? Because you wear like, you know, it's 80 something games in a season.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I feel like I'm getting away with it. And I was wondering if you did the same thing. Because I was looking at the guys on CBS, and like they're all in their suit pants. I'm like, dude, like. Well, yeah. You're sitting CBS, there for like 8 hours. Nobody wants to sit in suit pants for 8 hours.
Yeah, CBS is different because especially now they're not behind a desk. You can see everything. You know what
Fair
I mean?
Point.
But yeah, it's like one of those things like for us, we can get away with it. So sometimes like I got gym shoes on because I forgot my shoes and I had to put my gym shoes on, but I'm behind the desk so nobody can see I got my gym shoes on.
But you can get away with it. Like even though sneakers now are kind of acceptable in a weird way.
Yeah, yeah. See, but that's, I feel like that's more acceptable for the basketball players. We just assume that y'all got bad feet. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all jump all the time, roll y'all ankles all the time.
Sure, I'll use that excuse. Yeah, bad feet.
You know what I mean? So football players, you don't see the football players doing it as much, but you see all the basketball players doing that. Because we just assume that y'all sprain y'all ankles more than we do. You know what I mean? That y'all get y'all feet stepped on. Y'all have more foot and Achilles and calf injuries than we do. Because that's the main injury for y'all. For us, it's Achilles. It's like ACLs and stuff like that. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
No, that's good. We're trying to figure out. We're trying to just work out getting quickly on here, quickly, like what I did there. But still, I'm just, like I said, I'm just shouting out Public Rec because those pants are amazing. They're so comfortable, and I'm really happy because I just got an email to make me think of it, that there's like a 20% off going on right now, so I might do some shopping.
It's like that Black Friday sale type?
Something like that, yeah. So I'm all over that right now. But still, it's like you just get away because they look like suit pants. They literally look like suit pants, and they feel like you're wearing like sweatpants.
They're like Jaggins. They're almost like those shorts that they have for golfers.
Just not too tight because
but they got that stretchy stuff. So then they stretch out a little bit for you when you bring. No, but let's talk about Quigley though. Like what is he going to bring? Let's pump him up before he actually comes on. You know what I mean? What is he adding? He adds tremendous shooting experience. I mean, he's played, you know, for Calipari, one of the best coaches in the history of college basketball. All his prospects always translate directly to tremendous players. Always, you know, what I always get when I look at college players is like what it translates when they get to the pros, because they usually throw like 10. They usually just throw like 10 points on to the total because of the court's wide open now. You know what I mean?
Spacing, they say. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what Cal said about Quigley. He feels like, okay, all right, so we got him. Are you great? All right, so Emmanuel Quigley, as we're talking about him, he can answer the question.
Man, I'm just hyping him up, man.
But it's perfect. You can literally answer the question that he just asked, and that's
all right,
it. So,
bring him in right.
So Emmanuel, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Congratulations, by the way. And why don't I'll ask you, I don't know if you heard it, but what Bart asked is how much different the pro game will be compared to the college game. And your coach, John Calipari, believes that you'll actually thrive just like a bit like Tyler Hero did because of the spacing aspect in the pro game. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I feel like it definitely suits me. College was good for me, but I feel like, you know, the NBA, the floor is more wide open. The three ball is getting crazy. You know, all these players get paid for being able to make shots and things like that. So I think, you know, the NBA game fits me well.
So, all right, so if I can then follow up on something that Cal also said, is that he knows it's not easy to play at Kentucky, that you go there, there's other guys that are also high school All-Americans that are high-end players, and you got to compete for playing time. And early in the season, he had you playing a much different role, not nearly as much as you did then towards the end of the season when you became SEC Player of the Year. When you look back at your experience, first year playing behind a lot of guys who are now in the NBA, and then now in your second year becoming Player of the Year, but more towards the second half of the season, your experience at Kentucky, was it something that you had to prove yourself and still do, or do you think it got you ready, or it's getting you ready for the NBA?
Yeah, I think that's the reason why I chose Kentucky and why so many others choose Kentucky. You see the guys that are thriving in the NBA, guys like Tyler Herro just this past year, PJ Washington, even Keldon was doing good. But just, you know, going against, having to have a mindset of going against other great players every day, competing, learning from them, and just really having a culture where you have to come to practice every day like it's a game, I think is an advantage, you know, coming into the NBA.
Now, listen, Kentucky's a huge program, but not a huge city, not a huge media market, where it's, you know, media is team-friendly media. Now you come into the Mecca where everything you do is scrutinized, the bright lights. You know, what have you done or have you thought about, you know, how you're going to handle it? You know, you think about, you know, the draft night, people are always trying to say, okay, who they could have got. You know, what's your answer to them about, you know, you coming here and what you represent?
I think, you know, New York is, I feel like, in my opinion, is kind of like Kentucky. Kentucky, I feel like, has one of the biggest media platforms. Like you said, I feel like, you know, everything's scrutinized in Kentucky, everything you do as far as being a basketball player. We're the only sports team, really big sports team in Kentucky. So I feel like coming to New York is pretty much the same thing in the fact that, you know, the fans expect greatness from day one. They expect you to come in, work hard, produce. And I feel like, you know, for me, it's just really coming in with a mindset of trying to get better each and every day, going hard each and every day, and just really trying to become the best basketball player I can be, become the best person I can be, from a day in and day out basis.
Pretty much like the same intensity it's covered with, no question, and the fan base probably just as intense as well with their players. And Knicks fans have been waiting a long time, and this is a franchise that has been patient with now building through the draft, trying to do it that way, you being one of those pieces. But one of the questions that a lot of fans have about what you're going to be at the NBA level is a very simple one. And it's, again, typical of when you come out of Kentucky, there's a lot of times where you don't really play your natural position or what you can become in the NBA. So I'll ask you the question pretty simply. Are you a combo guard? Are you a point guard? What are you and what do you plan to be in the NBA?
For me, I feel like, you know, all my life I've played point guard, so that's what I'm most comfortable. I feel like this past year, and just the way basketball is going in general, it's multiple point guards on the floor, multiple people that can pass, dribble, and shoot. So, you know, just being able to play point guard, but also, you know, this past year being able to learn to play off the ball, being able to catch and shoot, being able to come off down screens. I feel like pick and roll was, you know, a big part of my life, and being able to create for others, that was pretty much all I knew. But now I'm able to, you know, be able to play with other great point guards and just be able to be versatile on offense and also on defense.
How much of this do you think was, you know, really Kenny Payne standing on the table for you and saying, hey, I know what this kid is capable of. He's not being utilized the way that we can utilize him here. He has a greater skill set, and he has the strength to fit in Kentucky, where here we can, you know, take the shackles off and let him kind of be free. How much of that do you think that, you know, he played a role in it, and have you had any conversations with him, you know, post kind of explaining kind of what you're getting yourself into?
Yeah, Kenny Payne, he's somebody that I just look to, you know, almost like a father figure almost, just because, you know, he's somebody that's going to hold you accountable. He might yell at you, you know, in practice or in the game, but he'll be the first one with you in the gym that night. So he's somebody that, you know, I can, you know, always count on or off the floor. But like you said, yeah, just being able to, you know, coming into the NBA, you know, Kentucky, we don't really show, I feel like, everything that we can do because we're playing with so many great players. You got to sacrifice, but in the NBA, you know, the floor is, you know, a lot more space, the game's faster, more possessions. So just being able to show everything I can do, I'm really looking forward to it.
You're a gym rat, aren't you? Is that what you'd
Absolutely.
Say? Would you
no
call
question.
Yourself that? Yeah, yeah. From what I've read about you, that's what it sounds like. You're the guy. You're a guy that it takes to get him out of the gym. You live for it. You want to be there. You live for the work. Is that accurate about who you are? And have you been like that your whole life?
Absolutely. I was trying to workout draft day. I was trying to get one or two workouts draft day. My agency was just like, bro, I'm not letting you go to the draft. So, I mean, I'm not letting you go to the gym. So, yeah, I'm somebody who's just trying to get better, you know, any way I can, because I know that's the only way that you can reach your expectation is to trust God and put in the work.
What would you say is your best attribute as a basketball player? The one thing that when you walk in the gym, you look around and feel, I'm as good as anybody at this. What is it?
Shooting is definitely one, and I feel like I'm as competitive as anybody.
But you know what we say around here is that anybody can shoot. We need makers.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's what Kenny Payne always says.
He does, right? Like that's what Mike D'Antoni's saying, and it's something we say all the time here, because one of the things that the Knicks have lacked over the years, for the last couple of years anyway, is guys that can put in the basket, and that's something that fans certainly would want to relate to right away. Another question for you is another simple one. How far back do you go? Because it's a very long process. I'm sure it was a weird one to wait this long to be drafted since your last game. It's a different season for everybody. But how far back do you go? Because draft night, the Knicks had a pick at, 27, then traded up, then traded back, and took you at 25. A lot of movement was going on. How far back do you go where you said or you felt like the Knicks were targeting you with that second pick? Or was it a surprise?
I knew, you know, I had a really good relationship with the GM and with everybody that was on my call for the Zoom call. So, you know, I knew it was a real possibility. And honestly, I pretty much figured I was going to be a first round pick whether the Knicks took me. But when they had started, you know, making trades and stuff, and then my agent was telling me that it could be a real possibility, you'll be in New York. So that draft day, you know, it had, you know, when they picked me, that's when I knew it was real.
Now, have you looked at the roster? And I know sometimes when I got in the league, I was looking at the roster about who I'll be working with, who I'm competing against. You know, what do you think when you see Obi Toppin, and how do you think you guys can play well off each other? You talking about that pick and roll, knowing that he plays above the rim, knowing that you can, you know, you can shoot, he can shoot, he can pick and roll, he can pick and pop. You know, have you started thinking about that, and are you excited to kind of reach out to him and maybe start working out together, starting to get some chemistry?
Yeah, actually, just see him today. He was, we were both getting our COVID test, so I just got to see him today. He texted me a little bit, you know, the day after we got drafted. So, you know, I'm really excited to play with somebody that's that athletic, that great, you know, of a basketball player. So it should be, you know, it should be a lot of fun.
It's amazing what the Knicks did right with this draft. Think about it. He's the National Player of the Year. You're the SEC Player of the Year. And they also pick up Miles Powell, who's the Big East Player of the Year, after the draft. So you see the trend there. Alf is walking in the gym, and something, again, like I told you, I think Knicks fans are looking for that, looking for somebody to come in with a little bit of swagger and a little bit of confidence to try to turn the tide here. The last question I have for you is simply that. This is a team. It's going to be very young still. The core of this team is going to be very young. Do you look forward to being part of, do you feel like you and Obi and R.J. Barrett and Mitchell Robinson, you think of this group, do you already start to think about what you can be in a couple of years?
Absolutely. You know, you gotta set goals, especially as a team. You gotta set goals. Individually, I set goals and things like that. But I think the biggest thing is just taking it, you know, day by day. You know, in order to reach your goals, you gotta make sure that you have daily goals and what you're gonna do to try to get better each and every day to eventually achieve those big goals that are down the road, playoffs and trying to win championships and things like that. So it's just a daily grind to, you know, embrace the process and try to get better.
Are you in New York now?
Yes, sir.
So you're probably already trying to get the key card to the gym, aren't you?
Man, I done called every coach, called the training staff. That's why I was getting the COVID test this morning at 9 a.m. so that I can be able to get into the gym tomorrow.
All the ballers play a lifetime in New York on 42nd Street, man. But I tell you what, tell Obi, don't take you to the Heights, man. It's a black hole.
Okay.
Stay away from the Heights, man.
If you want the warnings, Bart's the guy to give them to you.
It's a lot of work over there, man. It ain't Kentucky, trust me.
Just stay focused. That's all we care about here. Manuel, thanks so much for a few minutes. We hope to catch up with you again. All the best and congratulations.
Appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
All right, Emmanuel, quickly. Hey, Bart.
Stay away from the Heights.
Yeah, I knew you were going there. First impressions are always important, right?
Yeah, man.
Impressive kid.
right. mature too. He's 21 years old. He's not a baby. He's not some one and done guy. Years. You know what I mean? Yep. So he has a little seasoning with him. You know what I mean? He knows what it's all about, and I like that because that means he has to sit there, wait his turn, compete, and he probably never wants to be in that situation again. Like, you know what? I don't want to have to wait again. I'm coming in day one, guns a blazing, and I'm gonna try and skip some steps in the process so I can get the desired result I want, which is to be in the starting point guard. You know, everybody was saying, hey, we can get a point guard.
He went right to that.
Yeah, we ain't get
he
no point guard.
Away.
Yeah,
didn't,
I'm the
well,
point guard. I'm the point guard.
Yeah. Yeah, he right away he's like, I've always been comfortable being a point guard. And that's what Cal does though. You come in and he's like, I know you're a point guard, but I need
but
you
need
here.
This. Yep.
So play this role. Can you do it? And he's like,
good.
I'm willing to play the role. And when you go to the NBA,
so
sometimes you're told that. I know you want to be point guard, but we need you to do this. And you've got to be versatile enough. So but he told you, I'm a point guard. So that suddenly makes things very interesting now.
So I wonder how Knicks fans listen when they hear that. Like, hey, you know, I play shooting guard because I had to. It's almost like James Harden, right? James Harden has been a shooting guard, but he's been the point guard for the last couple of years under D'Antoni's system. So we see it happen in the pros as well. Just because somebody plays one thing we're accustomed to seeing them play, it doesn't mean that they can't do the other thing. So in essence, Kenny Payne said, hey, man, he's a point guard. Trust me. Nobody know. They sleeping on that. He has that skill set. He's a great decision maker. You know, you put him in the pick and roll, he's going to make the right play every time, and he can shoot coming off the pick and roll, and, you know, he can distribute at the same time. So could you imagine that pick and roll with, you know, Baby Lob City going on with him and Obi,
yeah.
And then on the free side, you go that way, and then you throw it to Mitchell on the other side, like, ha-ha, fake one.
You nailed it, though. The most important part of what he talked about, again, is the fact that he feels like shooting is his best attribute. He shot a good percentage from the three-point line in college, later part of the season. Again, he's a guy who's shooting in the 40s.
Yeah,
and
so he
can score, but we don't know if he can distribute. That's a big part of being a point guard,
yeah.
But we'll certainly find out soon enough. His training camp begins December 1st, and he can't wait. I love that, too. He can't wait to get in the gym. Already trying to get a coach and get in the gym. You love stuff like that. By the way.
Can't wait.
Yeah, neither can I. By the way, here's a pretty cool thing, too. Add to this. Obi Toppin's jersey number, he's going with number 1. So we can officially begin now that he will be.
Can't wait.
No. You're
Maybe
missing
Penny?
It. He can be Obi-Wan.
I did miss that.
Oh. And there it is. Emmanuel Quickley was great. We appreciate him. Really impressive kid, Bar, right? I mean, you know, the answers he gave us, pretty confident. Although he will learn that even though Kentucky is very passionate about their basketball,
right?
New York is not Kentucky.
Yeah,
it's a little different.
And I hope he took my other advice as well. Stay on
Heights.
At least.
Yeah, we'll go offline.
Star break.
We'll go offline with him about about that.
Phrasing?
We'll just make sure we, we'll talk with him offline. He is old enough, though, unlike the past
things
who were not old enough.
Right.
He is old enough. But you know what? Right now, it's time for Jets Quote of the Game. So
one thing I can say about this team, you know, we come to work every week. Sundays, we give it our everybody give it their all. We just got to keep fighting as a team and, you know, try to get one. You know, but it's tough, you know, because you play this game and win.
No, don't get one.
Now, well, you understand from the player's perspective for sure. All right, that was the Jets quote of the game. If you're watching Jets post game live with, starring Bart Scott, Jonah Schwartz, and Janae Coakley as well on SNY after yesterday's game, you know which player or coach that was. So be the first caller to correctly identify the player or coach right now at 1-888-987-ESPN for your chance to win a piece of official Jets merchandise. The Jets quote of the game brought to you by SNY.
Get your New York sports here.
That's right. 98.7 ESPN, your radio home for New York Jets football. All right, we have about a minute here, then we'll get Rex Ryan coming up, and that's always a great spot, and we'll get back to the NFL stuff. But just in a minute, let's just go over what, Bart, we saw happen over the weekend in NBA free agency. The winner, to me, it's the easy winner, and that would be the Lakers. I mean, they not only they traded for Dennis Schroeder, which we knew about, they replaced Danny Green, friend of the show, with Wes Matthews, who's a good three-point shooter and a guy that can give you a little defense as well. They get Montrezl Harrell from the Clippers. Harrell took nothing.
Yes, traitor.
Nothing.
Nothing. Traitor.
To go play for the Lakers. And then how about this one? Marcus Gasol.
Yeah.
I know he's a lot older.
But he gonna give you some space and he can shoot the three a little bit.
Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee become Marcus Gasol. I mean, and he can defend. He's still a decent defender.
The crazy thing is though, like, really for me with the Clippers, like, how bad is it there where Montrezl Harrell, rather instead of hanging with his homeboys,
maybe
rather walk away?
Yeah, no, maybe. All right, the Nets did a nice job, too, keeping Joe Harris, getting Landry Shamet, Jeff Green a nice addition as well. He and KD now original Sonics together again.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.